Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 19.
Senate version.
Senate version.
Any discussion?
Which article? One.
Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. The next one is Section 21. There also are only technical differences in 22, and 23 is also identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 21. The House language, 22, the House language, and 23, the House language.
Any discussion?
Are those the identical ones? Or
one was recommended to be the House language. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
One aye and no nay.
And on page 8 of Article 1, we have Section 24, 25, 27, and 28 that are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 24, 25, 27, and 28.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 9 of Article 1, we have Section 29 and Section 30.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 29 and 30.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then let's turn to Article 2.
Madam Chair, if I may, there's one section that should be adopted with regard to the adult foster care being shifted over to the Department of Human Services. Senate didn't have any language, but it's just a technical section that should be adopted, and it's House only Section 20. All the rest of the sections related to this issue were adopted.
Is there any objection on the part of the Senate conferees to adopting this House language? Section 20 of Article 1. Okay, you want to make that
Madam
motion?
Madam Chair, then? I would move that we adopt the House language in Section 20.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then let's move on to Article 2. I guess it would be House Section 3. Well, it's in Article 4, House Bill. Section 1 of the Senate bill. Maybe we can do it that way.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language for whatever.
Section one
of the Senate bill.
And also for Section 2 of the Senate bill.
Section 2, I would move that we... Okay. We would prefer to wait on Section 2.
All right, then we'll just take the motion on Section 1 of the Senate language. Those in favor?
Article 2.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then we have what would be Section 3. Of the Senate bill.
Madam Chair, I would move the House language in that section.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? motion is adopted. Then we have be section 4 of Article 2 of the Senate language.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt section 4 of the Senate language.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then if we look at section 7, the House language, we have identical language we could adopt and leave the effective dates until the money is decided.
Section 7?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That would, so we're, I'm moving section 7, the language and the dates of implementation will be based on the when we do the budget.
Those are on hold for now.
Madam Chair, this is section 7 of Article 2 with the 60-month suspension. Is that correct?
No, this deals with countable income for GRH programs.
Oh, house language.
This is on page 5. Thanks. Any other discussion?
I have no question.
Representative Haas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make clear we're just adopting the policy language. Anything dealing with the tracking sheet will be dealt with later, correct?
Right. None of these things, even if they are identical in regard to money, they aren't really adopting the money. We're just adopting the language. And if we need to change it later, we can. But it just helps the staff if we can go through some of this where it appears that we would be identical. Any further discussion on the motion regarding Section 7 of Article 2? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Look at page 10, section 18, 19, and 20.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 18, 19, and 20.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. We can look at we have identical language to the House. This was a Senate floor amendment that apparently is not quite technically correct, so I believe we would be adopting the House language.
Madam Chair, in Section 4, I would move that we adopt the House language.
Any discussion?
Where are we?
We're on page 12 of Article 2.
Section 24. Oh, Section 24. I thought you said Section 4. Okay.
No,
it's 1362-3, Article 13, 4.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then let's move on to Article 3. I recall, I don't think there's much we have here to do. So let's go on to Article 4. We've got Section 1, 2, and 3 identical with a staff recommendation for the Senate language on Article 4. I mean on Section 4.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt sections 1, 2, 3, and the Senate language for Section 4.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then if we look at page 3, Section 5, 6, and 7.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language on Section 5 and adopt the identical languages in 6 and 7.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 4, we have Sections 8 through 11 that are identical.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Sections 8 through 11.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on Section 12, we have Subdivision 1 and 2, where they're nearly identical, and Subdivision 3, where they are identical, and then Section 13, where they are nearly identical.
Madam Chair, I would move in Section 12 that we adopt the Senate language.
And 13?
On 13, we also should adopt the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 6, Section 14 and 15...
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language on Sections 14 and 15.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair, are we...
Representative Thiessen.
Are we taking savings on Section 15?
I don't believe so. I think this is policy language that came in the governor's bill. There's no tracking for it.
Okay. So, the Madam Chair, all right.
So the motion is to adopt the Senate language on Sections 14 and 15. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 7, we have Section 16.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I'd like to just go back to Section 15. So that, I got to remember what this does. But this is having the counties pick up part of the state share. Is that current law that we're just putting in this?
This is simply clarifying what county is responsible.
Okay.
When the county share is due to the state.
Okay.
Section 16.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Section 16.
In favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Okay, then moving on to Article 5. Perhaps at some point we can compare the outlier bill language with the House language, but we aren't ready to do that today, so... So on page 6, then, we have Section 9 and Section 10.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 9 and 10.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 8, we have Section 11.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt this Section 11.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then we will move on to Article 6. We have a recommendation for language on Section 1. Going to hold on Section 2. This is one of the pieces, I believe, that's in the education bill as well as in the Health and Human Services bill, so we'll just hold on that one. And perhaps in Article 3 we could adopt the identical language and hold on the non-identical language.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the Senate language on Section 1 and that we adopt the identical language on Section 3, but hold on the non-identical language.
And, Madam Chair, just on Section 3, I mean, so what we're doing there is eliminating a patient incentive health program, but the House is actually saying we want to develop something in its place. I'm not sure we would want to eliminate it if we're not developing something in its place. So I don't think we should adopt the identical language before we kind of sort out that other piece.
All right, let's hold on that one then.
I changed my motion, Madam Chair, and my motion now is that we adopt the Senate language on Section 1.
Any discussion on the motion to adopt the Senate language on Section 1? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 3, we have Section 4, which is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Section 4.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Page 8, Section 10, 11, and 12, we have recommended language from the staff.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the health.
Madam Chair.
Questions?
Has this been sorted out with Lutheran Social Services? I know they had some questions about this pooled trust issue. Have those issues been resolved? I think there was some legal. We're okay? Okay.
So Representative Huntley moves that we adopt the House language for Sections 10, 11, and 12. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Well, why don't we move on to page 11? We have identical provisions in section 17, 18, and recommendations for 19 and 20 to take the House language.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 17 and 18 and adopt the House language on sections 19 and 20.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Page 12, we have Section 21, which is identical.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Section 21.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 16, we have Section 24, the recommendation to take the Senate language.
Madam Chair.
I'd like to hold on that one at this point, if we could.
Okay, we'll hold.
Thank you, Paul.
Which one is it? Section 24, the AWP minus 50.
Then on page 19, we have recommended Senate language for section 30, identical language on section 31.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt sections 30, the Senate language, and adopt section 31.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You missed one there.
The motion is adopted. One has to do with that education provision. So then on page 20 of Article 6, we have Section 32, 33, and 34 that are identical.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Sections 32, 33, and 34.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 21, we have section 35.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt section 35.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 22, section 37, we have a recommendation to take the House language.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the House language for section 37.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I just know that some of the county plans were kind of concerned about this piece, that they couldn't hit the target, and I guess it's in both bills, but you're familiar with their concerns.
If the House decides to change their spreadsheet, we can revisit this. We're just adopting language right now.
All right.
Well, I think if there's an objection, we should not adopt the language right now.
All right, we'll put this on hold.
Section 37 is on hold.
Getting notes, the reason we skipped over page 18, section 26, is because it has to do with the provision in the education bill also. And then on page 23, section 38, we have a recommendation to adopt the Senate language.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Senate language in section 38.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 24, we have section 39, which is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt section 39.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 28, section 45 is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt section 45.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Page 34, section 55, 56, and 57 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 55, 56, and 57.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And then section 62, both the House and Senate have one repealer that's identical.
Madam Chair, I'd move in section 62 that we adopt the identical repealer.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, then let's move on to Article 7. In Article 7, we have sections 1 through 7 that are identical. 9.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair?
On Mr. Giel?
In this article, when the House presented this, they indicated that on House Section 8, Senate 8, that the department had said they preferred the Senate language, and that on Senate 10 and 11, those are already taken care of in Article 9 and are not necessary. So you could finish this article if you wanted to.
On Senate Section 10 and 11?
On Senate 10 and 11, we would take the House position to not include those.
Okay.
And on Section 8, we would take the Senate position.
Right.
So, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language.
Madam Chair?
Could we just wait?
Well, real quick before we do that, I have in my notes that the House said that Senate Sections 10 and 11 were done in House Article 9, and so that they actually did want these provisions done.
I think he's saying we're going to do it in Article 9.
We're going to do it in Article 9. Okay, that's fine.
So
let's just take Section 8.
Yep. Madam Chair, I move Section 8, the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. And we'll wait for Sections 10 and 11 until we get to that.
Section 8.
Then on of the Senate. Then in House Sections 10 through 16, they are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 10 through 16.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 4, House Sections 17 through 22 are identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Sections 17 through 22.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And let's turn to Article 8. Look at page 5, Section 22 is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Section 22.
Madam Chair, even though they're identical, it kind of falls within the context of broader issues around what we're going to do with mental health. I just prefer to wait till we resolve some of those issues in general, more generally.
All right, we'll put that on hold. So I guess there's nothing else in Article 8. We'll turn to Article 9. On page 2, we have Section 1, 2, 3, and a recommendation on Section 4. And we have different effective dates, so we would just hold on the effective date.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Sections 1, 2, 3, and the House language for 4, but hold on the effective dates.
Madam Chair, I'd prefer we don't do 4 until we figure out what the effective date is going to be, because I think that may change some of our discussion around that. That changes our discussion on that issue.
Right. We'll put a hold on Section 4.
So, Madam Chair, the motion then is adopt Sections 1, 2, and 3.
Holding on the effective date.
Yeah, hold, yes.
Any
hold.
Further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion is adopted. Then on page 3, we have Section 5. We have identical language with a different effective date.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt Section 5, but hold on the effective dates.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted. And Section 6 and Section 7 on page 4 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 6 and 7.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 5, we have a recommendation on Section 8, and Section 9 and 10 are identical.
Eight is, I think, substantively different.
Yeah, okay. Madam Chair, in section, I would move sections 8, 9, and 10, but that be adopted. But in section 8, the staff should combine the languages of both the House and Senate, get rid of wording differences.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hosh.
Because this is, the House language has a sixth exception, and there's just, I think, different projects that would qualify under this. I would like to wait until we could see what the staff recommendation is between the House and the Senate.
Right. Well, hold on Section 8. And motion then is to adopt identical Section 9 and 10 provisions. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 6, Section 12, we have a recommendation to adopt the House language, and on Section 13, to adopt the Senate language.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the House language in Section 12 and the Senate language in Section 13.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. So on page 7, on section 7, on section 14, we have identical language, and on 15, we have identical language except for the date.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd prefer to hold on 15, but I would move that we adopt section 14.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion on section 14? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 8, we have identical language in section 17 and 18 and minor wording differences on section 19.
Well, Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 17 and 18 and the Senate language in section 19.
20.
Any discussion? None. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. On page 9, we have nearly identical language on section 23 with a staff recommendation. And we have identical language on section 24.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the Senate language for section 23 and adopt section 24.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 10, we have a recommendation on subdivision 2. Subdivision 3 is identical. We have a recommendation on subdivision 4. 5 and 6 are identical, and we have a recommendation on subdivision 7.
Madam Chair, I would move in Article 25 that we adopt a subdivision 2, the Senate language is subdivision 2, adopt subdivision 3, adapt the House language in subdivision 4, adopt subdivision 5 and 6, and the Senate language of subdivision 7.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 11, we have subdivision 8, which is identical. Subdivision 10. Subdivision 9, we have staff recommendations here. Subdivision 10 is identical. Subdivision 11 has staff recommendation. And subdivision 12 is identical. And I'm not sure if subdivision 13 differences are substantive or not.
Well, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt subdivision 8, the Senate language for subdivision 9.
Madam Chair.
I think this is a combination of House and Senate languages recommended here. Maybe people would prefer to hold this piece.
I'd prefer to hold on subdivision 9.
Okay, we'll put a hold on that.
And subdivision 13.
Okay, we'll put a hold on that.
So, Madam Chair, I would amend my motion to that we would adopt subdivision 8, subdivision 10, the Senate language in subdivision 11, and adopt subdivision 12.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 12, we have an identical subdivision 14. We have a recommendation on subdivision 15 and 16.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt subdivision 14 and the Senate language in subdivisions 15 and 16.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Somebody's voting at least. On page 13, subdivision 1 is identical. And subdivision 3 is identical in section 26. And on section 27, subdivision 1 is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that on section 26, we adopt subdivisions 1 and 3. And in section 27, we adopt subdivision 1.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. So we have on page 14, subdivision 2, we have a staff recommendation. Subdivision 3 is identical. Subdivision 4 is identical. And the Senate would like to propose an amendment to subdivision 5. This is department language. We never had the department bill introduced in the Senate, so we never had hearings on it. And there is one piece of language in here that is a problem, and the department has agreed that it would be fine to remove that language. So we need to get an amendment to that section, and we'll hold until it's ready.
That language, is that the Syndicus amendment? That's in subdivision 6.
Oh, subdivision 6. Okay, well, then I guess we can do 5.
And, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I don't think the staff recommendations cover all of subdivision 2. It just covers the minor.
Or this one, too.
Technical issues.
So we should hold on subdivision 2. All right, so we have subdivision 3, 4, and 5 on page 14 that are identical.
Madam Chair, I'd move subdivisions 3, 4, and 5.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And then on page 15, we have section 28, subdivision 1 with a staff recommendation. Subdivision 2 is identical. Subdivision 2A is identical. And we would need to hold on 2B.
Madam Chair, I would move in section 28, subdivisions 1, the house language, and adopt also subdivisions 2 and 2A.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 16, subdivision 3 is identical, section 29 is identical, and I guess 30 isn't quite done. So, we'll hold on.
Madam Chair, I would move in section 28, subdivisions 3 and then in section 29, adopt the section 29.
Any discussion?
Can 4 be adopted?
Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Subdivision, he didn't adopt that.
Those opposed? The motion is adopted. On page 17, section 32, we have a staff recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the house language for section 32.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. We can turn to page 20 then. We can look at subdivision 5. Just a small difference in language there. And a small difference in subdivision 6.
Why don't we hold on those two?
All right. We'll hold those two. On page 21, subdivision 7, we have a staff recommendation. Subdivision 8 is identical. We can hold on subdivision 9 and 10.
So, Madam Chair, I would move subdivisions 7, the Senate language, and subdivision 8.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. On page 22, subdivision 11. I guess it looks like maybe we should hold on that. On subdivision 12, there is a staff recommendation, and on subdivision 13, there is a staff recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would move the house language in subdivision 12 and the house language in subdivision 13.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 23, subdivision 14, I guess we need to hold on that one, but subdivision 15 and 16 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move subdivisions 15 and 16.
Any discussion? None. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 24, subdivision 17 is nearly identical. Subdivision 18, we have a staff recommendation. Subdivision 19, we have a staff recommendation. And subdivision 20, we have a staff recommendation.
No, Madam Chair, I would hold on 17, and then, but I would move subdivisions. The Senate language is subdivisions 18. Oh, excuse me. No, that's the House language. House language is subdivision 18. And the Senate language in subdivision 19, and the Senate language in subdivision 20.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prettner, so on.
Could we hold on subdivision 18? There are some staff recommendations for Senate and some for House, and maybe we could work those out.
Okay, we'll hold on that one then. And we'll take Representative Huntley's motion on subdivision 19 and
Representative Hosh. Yes.
Representative Hosh.
Madam Chair, on subdivision 20 with the encumbrance, I think I would like to know more about why staff recommended the Senate language over the House. So I'd like to hold on that at this point.
Okay, we'll hold that one too. So we have the motion on subdivision 19 before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 25, we have a recommendation on subdivision 21. And I believe subdivision 22 are nearly identical.
Subdivision 21, there's the policy difference on that encumbrance percentage, same as in subdivision 20.
All right, so we'll hold on that then.
Madam Chair, I would move, let's see, they don't have a recommendation there, do they?
Well, it just looks to me like the Senate left something out here. Mr. Gill?
Madam Chair, I think in negotiations between the Department of Human Services and the advocates that there was an agreement to leave those cross-references to the CFR out, and I'm not sure why, but that was their agreement, so that's why that language is on the Senate side, and I think the DHS and the advocates still support the Senate side.
All right, so we'll leave that on hold then, too. On page 26, subdivision 23 is identical, and subdivision 26 is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move subdivisions 23 and 26.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 27, subdivision 27 is identical.
I would move, Madam Chair, subdivision 27.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 28, Section 36 is a staff recommendation, and on 37, a staff recommendation.
Madam Chair, in sections 36 and 37, I would move the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 29, we have a recommendation for Section 38.
Madam Chair, I would move in Section 38 that we adopt the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 30, we have Section 40, which is identical. Section 41 with a staff recommendation, 42 with a staff recommendation. 43 is identical, and we can hold the effective dates.
So, Madam Chair, I would move Section 40. I would move the Senate language in Section 41, and the Senate language in Section 42 and the identical language in Section 43, but hold on the effective dates.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair, just as we've been going through this discussion, I mean, one of the tricky things about this whole chapter is that there's provisions of bills that are related that are scattered kind of throughout the chapter. Like this all relates to stuff that we dealt with earlier that had effective date issues and stuff. It just seems to me, I guess my question is, if we're adopting stuff now and we later decide that because of differences in other parts of that kind of bill that got dumped into this omnibus bill aren't acceptable, then do we pull these sections out?
We can revisit it.
And is that getting tracked by
somebody?
I
would say the chances are we won't, but we could. I mean, you know, just based on my experience.
I'm not sure what that means, Madam Chair.
Well, if you change your mind about your spreadsheet, we can revisit this. But, you know, until then, if we're identical, if we can just go through and adopt the identical language, it does save us some time, and we don't have a lot of time for this conference committee.
Well, and Madam Chair, I just don't know if it costs more time to put it in and then take it out if we were to decide to change it later.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, as long as the understanding is by putting some of this stuff in and then we make a later decision that on other pieces that relate to this, that it all can be taken out, that's, I guess we can proceed that way.
The motion on 40, sections 40, 41, 42, and 43 are before us. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 31, section 45 is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt section 45.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. On page 32, we have identical language in section 47 with different effective dates, so we can hold on the effective dates.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt the identical language in section 47, but hold on the effective dates.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion is adopted.
Just say no.
48 is section 48 is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt section 48.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 33, we have identical language with different effective dates in section 50. We have technical differences with a staff recommendation on section 51. And we have nearly identical language in section 52 with a staff recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt section 50, the identical language, but hold on the implementation dates. And in section 51, I move the House language, and in section 52, I move the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. On page 34, section 54, we have technical differences with date differences.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm informed by DHS that on sections 54 and 55, the Senate effective dates are in error, so we should go with the House effective dates on those two sections.
All right.
So, Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the House language for sections 54 and 55.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 35, we have identical language in sections 36 and 56.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 36 and 56.
Madam Chair, I'd like to hold on 36. There's a price to that thing, right?
So, Madam Chair, I've changed my motion, and it would be that we adopt section 56.
Section 56. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And on page 36, looks like we need to hold on all of that. On page 37, we have technical differences on section 36 with date differences. And we have identical language on 63 with date differences and identical language on 64 with date differences.
Well, Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language in section 62, but we will hold on the effective dates. And I would move the language in section 63 and again hold on the effective dates. And I would move section 64 and hold on the effective dates.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 38, we have section 65 that is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt section 65.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 39, section 67 and 68, there is a staff recommendation. And on section 70, they are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move the Senate language in sections 67 and 68 and move the adoption of section 70.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. On page 40, section 73 is identical.
I'd like to hold on that one.
And on page 41, I guess it's actually page 40, section 75. We have different reporting dates, but otherwise.
Madam Chair, this middle column isn't formatted very well. On section 65, I think the staff is just recommending the technical differences, so I think you should put that on hold.
Okay, we'll do that. 75, I'm sorry. And on page 42, section 80, we have technical differences.
276, I think.
We have a staff recommendation on section 80 on page 42.
Madam Chair, in section 80, I would move the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 43, section 81, there's a staff recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt section 81, the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the motion is adopted. Page 44, Section 85 is identical.
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt Section 85.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the motion is adopted. And we can move on to Article 10. There is nothing identical there. So let's move on then to Article 11.
Yeah, move the house one.
We'll be done.
Page 2, we have sections 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 6 that are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion is adopted. On page 3, sections 7 through 12 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 7 through 12.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion is adopted. Then on page 4, sections 13 through 16 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 13 through 16.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion is adopted. Then on page 5, sections 19 through 24 are identical.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt sections 19 through 24.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the motion is adopted. Then on page 6, we have two identical provisions, section 25 and 27, and a staff recommendation on section 26.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt section 25, adopt the House language for section 26, and adopt section 27.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Then on page 7, we have staff recommendation on section 28, and sections 29 and 30 are identical.
Madam Chair, I move the House language in section 28 and that we adopt section 29 and 30.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 8, sections 31 through 33 are identical.
Madam Chair, I would move we adopt sections 31 through 33.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the motion is adopted. On page 9, we have section 34, which is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt section 34.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the motion is adopted. Then on page 10, section 36, 38, 39.
Madam Chair.
And I believe 42 are identical. Representative Clark.
Let's hold 36 because the other changes that we're making, that's adding a new category that we may or may not want to keep.
Yeah. She'd like to hold section 36. So then 38, 39, and 42 are identical.
Madam Chair, I'd move sections 38, 39, and 42.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, Motion is adopted. Page 11, Section 43 is identical.
Madam Chair, I'd move Section 43.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. And on page 15, Section 50 is identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt Section 50.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. And we can go on to Article 12. In Article 12, on page 2, sections 1 through 9 are identical.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt sections 1 through 9.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hosh.
Actually, I may be mistaken. I was just wondering. I know in one area the Senate only provisions was going to be dealt in Section 9, but I think that was a different article of the bill, so I apologize.
Right. Any further discussion of the motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. Then on page 3, sections 10, 11, excuse me, sections 10, 12, and 13 are identical, and we have a staff recommendation on section 11.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the sections 10, 12, and 13, and the House language for Section 11.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
That's it.
And then I think we have done quite a bit of work here. I'd like to now ask the Department of Health if they want to come up to the table. They've gotten a little more information on the fee issue that we were discussing earlier. Ms. Julek.
Madam Chair, members, Barb Julek, Minnesota Department of Health. You had asked if we increase the fee for for-profit youth camps to subsidize the nonprofit youth camps to cover our costs. What would that amount to? And again, using the assumption that 70% of the youth camps are not-for-profit, that would mean that we would have to charge the for-profit camps about $1,667 per for their license, and the current governor's recommendation would be $500 for all youth camps. So it would be more than triple the recommendation.
Any questions or discussion on that issue, Representative Clark?
And would you describe what the current charges for youth camps?
We currently do not charge a fee for youth camps.
That's right. And so what would the increase be if we did put it on? Yeah.
The governor's recommending a $500 fee for all youth camps, and the question was if we were to collect the same, and that the $500 fee, we assume there's about 100 youth camps throughout the state, would generate about $50,000. If we are just to charge the fee to the for-profit, which are about 30%, you'd have to more than triple that recommendation.
Madam Chair, I just point out,
Representative Clark,
this was a big discussion on the House floor. There was a lot of feeling about when the net we should be charging for these youth camps. And so charging zero to go up to a $500 fee was what the House members were very concerned about. And I realize that the question is, how much does it pass over to the other camps, but I think it's important for people to know that right now there is no charge for youth camps in the state of Minnesota to be inspected and checked.
And I guess Senate concern here is that we don't have this area balanced, so either we should raise one of the fees more in order not to have another fee, or we should do something else to make sure we get this rectified within the department's budget. Representative Abler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are these camps, are the nonprofit, all these camps, are they inspected now for free? Is that what you're doing?
Madam Chair, they are inspected, and there's a cost to them. And the idea behind the governor's proposal was to recover the cost.
Yeah, so they never were charged, even though they got whatever service benefit of this. All right, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Madam Chair, Ms. Julek, do we have any other examples where the state performs a service like investigating or reviewing the property and not charging for it?
Madam Chair, Representative Solon, I'd have to get back to you on that. I don't know.
Madam Chair, how often are these inspections done?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, once a year is my understanding, but I'll confirm that.
They're probably done every year before the camp opens. Any other questions or discussion?
And then, Madam Chair, you had some questions about the recreational camping and the special event camping. Just some additional information about this. Currently, the special event camping events or whatever are currently charged a fee at the regular recreational camping rate. Currently, all these fees are in rural. The governor's proposal was to move these fees from rural into statute and to create a separate category for the special event camping area that would charge the same base rate as the recreational camping, but a different per site rate. And the governor's proposal for recreational camping area would change the per site rate from $2.75 to $4 a site, but the special event rate from $2.75 to $1 per site. And so that would avoid, like currently we'd have situations if you're a special event camping area, since we don't have a category for that event or that situation, that would avoid charging, for example, the state fair $20,000 under the $2.75 rate to charging something more like $9,000, which would be under the $1 per site rate. And that's kind of what we're trying to deal with here, as well as these fees have not been increased since 1991, and trying to recover the cost and catch that up.
So I think there's been some confusion here. I think the special event language has caused people to think that there's going to be a fee charge that hasn't been charged in the past. And actually, the proposal is reducing the fee. It is charged now by rule. Representative Clark.
Madam Chair, if I'm not mistaken, it's not reducing it for all of them. It's increasing it for some, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, for the recreational camping area and the special event sites, it's increasing the base fee. But then for the per site fee, which is a separate fee, it's increasing recreational camping from $2.75 to $4 a site, but decreasing the special events from $2.75 to $1 a site.
And Madam Chair, and the base fee is?
The base fee would go from $25 to $150.
And that's for, I believe, Madam Chair, if I'm not mistaken, it's from 1 up to 20 campsites, right? Is that right? Is it 1 to 10?
Madam Chair, I don't have that level of detail with me.
Well, we talked about this quite a bit in the committee, Madam Chair, and I'm just trying to remember. It's quite a big jump for the lower number of campsites, but at the top, there is a savings for the larger campgrounds and for the larger camp.
Madam Chair,
facilities.
Representative Clark, I think that's tied to the per site.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Not the base fee, the per site fee, where we're going from $2.75 to $4. And so, yes, the more sites you have, the more you would pay. Under the special event camping, where we had $2.75 a site, I think, and the recreational camping, this was capped at a certain number of sites. So anything over a certain number of sites wasn't charged, and I think that cap was going away. So if you were a small campground under the cap, you paid less per site under the special event. But if you were a larger campground without the cap, you paid less per site, but possibly for more sites.
And Madam Chair, just one more question. What is that cap?
I believe it's 500 sites.
So if you have, Madam Chair, if you have more than 500 sites, you're doing pretty well by this. If you're smaller, you're paying more.
Under current law. I think under the change, if you have less than 500 sites for special event camping, if you have less than 500 sites, you're going from $2.75 a site to $1 sites. So the smaller special events would be lower cost per site.
I'm sure, I think it might be helpful just to see the chart. We had a chart that, and I think it helps it
we can
understand because of the cutoff points are interesting.
Representative Hosh.
I'd just like to get back to the youth camps quickly. I think you said that we need one FTE to do the inspections of about 100 sites. How long does it take to do an inspection of a site?
Madam Chair, Representative Hosh, I'll need to get back to you. I don't have that detail with me.
Representative Hosh.
I'd like to see that because, I mean, you know, if we need to have a full FTE to do inspections of 100 sites in the state, that just seems a little overboard, personally.
Madam Chair, Representative Hosh, my understanding is that is what is currently assigned, and this is just recovering those costs.
I'd still be interested to see, if you actually spend 20 hours per site on an inspection, because that's what it would have to transfer out to be.
Okay. Any other questions on this issue? Then we had said we would take some testimony in regard to a provision, but I can't remember what section it's in, but it has to do with plan, use of health plan reserves. Senate only language regarding
I think it's Article 6, Sections 1 to 3.
No, mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's the reinsurance.
Right.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jeanette Coleman. I'm with Medica. And just to clarify, Senator,
this is a non-money provision.
Right, on the reinsurance. So thank you for this opportunity to clarify what this provision is and what this provision isn't. This is a provision that would allow an HMO to sell reinsurance to an insurance company within one entity. So it's not to sell reinsurance company out into the market. And this is something that we consider a technical clarification. Department of Commerce has also commented that they consider this a technical clarification. Insurance law is explicit that an insurance company can sell reinsurance to an HMO within an entity. But it's silent as to the HMO company selling the reinsurance. So some could interpret that it being silent to it means that it's not prohibited and so therefore would be allowed. This is providing that technical clarification. Department of Commerce could speak to it. They don't have an issue with this provision. I do want to clarify what this provision is not, and I think there's been some confusion. This provision does not allow a transfer of funds from an HMO to an insurance company. That's referred to as a dividend, and that is not what this provision would allow. There are some sectors of insurance companies where you can dividend money under an umbrella of a insurance company around to different business entities. This is not that.
Any questions? Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair and Ms. Coleman, that's selling, does that have anything to do with the reserves on both sides of this issue?
Madam Chair and Representative Huntley, the reason that there is interest in doing this from Medica's standpoint is that in our insurance company, our reserves are at a threshold that is low enough that we are not comfortable reinsuring ourselves. And so, therefore, we are going out into the private market and buying reinsurance. And so we've been working with the Department of Commerce to be able to have our HMO sell reinsurance to the insurance company. So that's what drove this.
So, Madam Chair and Ms. Coleman, that would mean that if your reserves drop too low on the one side, you could transfer then money to the other side?
No, I don't believe that's what she said. She said that they would be allowed to purchase reinsurance from the HMO rather than from an outside company.
Madam Chair, correct. So there's actually, you're not transferring assets from the HMO to the insurance company. The HMO is selling reinsurance to the insurance company rather than the, and you still have, the insurance company still has to pay the HMO for the reinsurance at a fair market value. So it's not allowing anything. It's just allowing the insurance company to buy the reinsurance from the HMO rather than to go out into the private market. And if your questions get much more financially technical than that, I'd have to look to the Department of Commerce.
Madam Speaker and Ms. Coleman, so this reinsurance that you're selling obligates then the one that's selling this reinsurance to transfer money to the other entity if its reserves get too low. I mean, that's what insurance does.
Can't pay claims.
Madam Chair and Representative Huntley, it's not a transfer in the way that dividending money is a transfer, and I would be happy to get one of our financial folks or somebody from the Department of Commerce to answer. This is getting into a really technical area that I am not an expert in, but I would be happy to, if there's other questions.
Someone from the Department of Commerce that would like to come up and help with this.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Gross. I'm the Director of Healthcare Policy from the Department of Commerce. I'm no super-duper expert on this, but basically what we're talking about here is basically the HMO, selling reinsurance. Reinsurance is insurance on top of insurance. Reinsurance is designed to protect another insurance company or an HMO from catastrophic losses. And what the HMO will be doing is selling insurance to the insurance company. Thus, the HMO will receive some premiums, and the insurance company will receive some protection. It's designed, in a sense, to reduce insurance company's losses. So, at a certain threshold, the HMO will assume the risk.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first question, do HMOs currently sell reinsurance to other entities right now?
Madam Chairman, Representative Thiessen, yes, they do.
So, and Madam Chair, to who do they
Representative Thiessen.
Who do they sell reinsurance to right now?
I believe I think Health Partners is selling reinsurance to the market.
To other insurance manager, other
Madam Chairman, Representative Thiessen, and everybody, I think this is really designed to be real crystal clear that an HMO can do this. I think right now it's kind of gray and cloudy, and we're just trying to clarify that this piece of legislation is designed to clarify that for sure an HMO can do this if they wish.
And Madam Chair, I think we're trying to clarify if that makes sense. So, and my other question then, so the way with reinsurance then, this is reinsurance, so you're paying claims out to a certain amount, say, this is not reinsurance on your whole market, this is on each claim, right? So if someone has a claim that comes in at $500,000, it may be reinsured above $500,000 for each individual, or is this to protect you against catastrophic loss for the whole company?
Madam Chairman, Representative Thiessen, I believe it's catastrophic for everything at a certain millions of dollars. It's not per claim. That's sort of like stop loss.
Yeah.
Where you'd be stop loss would be per claim and then an aggregate amount. This is reinsurance, which is at a X amount of dollars and millions of dollars. The other company takes over all those claims.
And Madam Chair, so is that over a certain year, like every annually if the claims reach a certain amount?
Madam Chairman, Representative Thiessen, it would be annually.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, to go to Representative Huntley's question then, ultimately, if there was a catastrophic loss, there would be a transfer of money from the nonprofit HMO to the insurance company. I mean, that's the whole point of it. So assets could be transferred if you get to a point of a certain level of catastrophic losses and your reserves aren't covering it. I mean, that's the whole point of doing this, right?
Madam Chair and Representative Thiessen, what I'm not sure and I can find out is at what point that, so for example, we've all been seeing quite a bit about the H1N1 virus. I will not refer to it as the other name, which some farmers don't like. But, you know, it's to protect something like that. So this isn't to protect against a premature baby or to protect against, this is to protect against a pandemic, that sort of those very unlikely, hopefully unlikely scenarios.
And Madam Chair, just I think one more question here. So do you purchase reinsurance right now?
Currently, the insurance company, Medicare Insurance Company, is purchasing reinsurance out in the private market. And so the amount of premiums that we pay out into the private market, which is the individual consumer's money, would now, that premium dollars would still have to be paid, but it would be paid to the HMO.
And I lied. I do have another question. All other insurance companies buy reinsurance anyway. Okay. So that it doesn't matter what your reserve necessarily is. You could charge more premiums to your members as well, but this is probably a more economical way to protect your insurance company members? So they don't have to do it in premiums.
Madam Chair. Well, Representative Thiessen, there still has to be premiums paid to the HMO, and you have to pay a fair market.
No, Madam Chair, I'm talking about premiums from your for-profit insurance company that you're charging your customers. The other way to avoid, you're buying insurance because it's a more economical value to buy that reinsurance based on the risk rather than charging your customers higher premiums.
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, correct.
Okay.
Are there, Senator Pritton or Solon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gross, so you're saying that insurance companies can offer reinsurance but not HMOs? That's what's unclear at this point?
Madam Chairman, Representative Solon, I think what's not clear in the law is can an HMO officially do this? What the attempt here is to clarify that an HMO can sell reinsurance to whoever they want to.
Because there is not an example of an HMO selling reinsurance otherwise in the market?
Madam Chairman, I believe right now that some of them are, but I think what Medica is trying to obtain is more of a clarification that this can be done.
Okay, Madam Chair, Mr. Gross, if there are reserves in the HMO, would it not be appropriate to use those to reduce the premiums?
Madam Chairman, Representative Solomon, yes, they could do that. But if the reserves are depleted, then subsequently they'd have to increase premiums. What this is doing is transferring a large chunk of those potential claims to another entity, thus reducing their potential losses or claims.
No. Madam Chair, Mr. Gross, I thought the fact was that they had a large surplus, so they wanted to use that as a reinsurance pool for their insurance company. Is that correct?
Madam Chairman, Senator Solon, I'm confused with your question. Sorry.
Well, their for-profit is going out on the market to buy reinsurance. They want to use their HMO, the reserve fund in their HMO, to create the reinsurance for their for-profit.
My understanding is that the for-profit would be purchasing the reinsurance from
the HMO.
They wouldn't be giving them the money. They'd be purchasing it at fair market value.
Yes, Madam Chair, but why would that reserve fund not, if it's in excess, why would it not be used to bring down the premium instead?
Madam Chair and Senator Solon, I think that certainly we do use reserves to bring down premiums to a point of which we're comfortable having we have to have a level of reserves to be, I somewhat jokingly, but this H1N1 is exactly why health plans have reserves, and this is a very potentially scary situation. So there is a balance and a natural conflict that occurs with reserves, because you need to have adequate reserves, but you also want to have competitive premiums. I mean, there's some areas of the state we're more competitive than others. We'd like to be more competitive in the rural areas. But in the metro area, health insurance premiums are very competitive. So you are absolutely right. There's that balance we have to have. The point from our standpoint, and again, I want to say there's nothing in law that prohibits an HMO from purchasing, from selling reinsurance. This is just to clarify, and oftentimes in laws, when something is not explicitly prohibited, attorneys take that to mean that it is possible to do. And Department of Commerce has taken that position on other issues. This is just trying to clarify that in fact, can be done. And the Department of Commerce, who regulates us to ensure our solvency, has said that they do not have concerns with this provision.
Other questions? Representative Huntley.
Now, Madam Chair and Ms. Coleman, but if there was a catastrophic event like a pandemic flu, wouldn't that hurt your HMO just as much as it would hurt the insurance company?
Madam Chair and Representative Huntley, that would hurt every insurance company in our entity regardless, including every insurance company in the state.
Ms. Coleman, how much of your HMO reserves do you plan to use for this purpose if this were to be adopted?
Madam Chair, I would have to get the goal would be not to use any of the reserves at all, but to have the HMO sell the reinsurance. I guess I don't know the answer. I could go back and ask that question. I'm not sure. I don't know, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other questions on this issue?
Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because we didn't hear this in the House, I'm just wondering if there's anybody else here that wants to testify on the issue. And if we had time for that.
Is
and maybe
there
nobody
else
who
wants to say something? Doesn't appear to be.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, then let's move on. There were a couple of provisions in the licensing section of the bill that dealt with the Board of Pharmacy. And Mr. Weiberg is here, so maybe we could turn to those. I would like to try to wrap up the licensing sections of the bill either today or tomorrow, because they can certainly be resolved without having a target. So I believe those are in.
Madam Chair, it's Article 12, Senate Sections 10 and 11.
Welcome, Mr. Weiberg. These two sections deal with the pending application of Board of Pharmacy for the NASPER funds. You want to explain the need for these provisions?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there are a couple of provisions relating to this, and NASPERS, or actually in this state is going to be called CSPERS, is a electronic reporting system for controlled substance prescriptions. The legislature directed the Board of Pharmacy to put such a system in place by January of next year and also directed us to pursue non-state funds. We've received just shy of a $400,000 federal grant to implement the program. Unfortunately, the federal fiscal years and the state fiscal years don't match. And our federal grant runs from October of last year through September of 2010, which means we're going to have 9 months in the next state biennium in which we have no funding. And there are a number of options that we could have that we developed for dealing with that. It seemed like one of the options that was maybe the cleanest at this point was to amend some of the language in the original bill to allow a vendor to do more of the work. The original language basically implied or basically stated that a vendor could only help implement the database but could do nothing else. We believe that if we have the authority to have the vendor do more of the work, we can make the federal grant stretch over our biennium by the way that we contract with the vendor. The other provision is really, I think, something of a technical change. We came back to the legislature last session after several meetings of an advisory committee that included other licensing boards and some of the professional associations with the recommendation that Schedule 4 controlled substances, which include drugs like Valium, be added to the program. Unfortunately, and I have to take responsibility for this, I didn't get the little bit of language in there that would have done that. And so this corrects that oversight.
Other questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
So the difference in that first thing you're talking about is that now the vendor won't just kind of be involved in the design of the underlying stuff, but will actually operate the system?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's correct. Most of the system, not all of it, but most of the system will be operated by the vendor.
And Madam Chair, who would have otherwise done
Representative
that?
Representative Thiessen.
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, we would have needed to do that internally, and to do that we would have had to hire additional staff. In particular, we would have needed an information technology staff, which we do not have dedicated IT staff for our board. We share two IT staff people with all of the other boards.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Abler.
Thank you. Can you comment, Mr. Weiberg, on the vendor and privacy matters? That was a just to get the group in the context here, imagine two very normal lobbyists that you see walking around the hallway being kind of mellow, shouting at each other at my working group. They were just screaming at full volume. And so this was a very tense topic, and the parties came together with considerable duress on all of them from me to say, we're going to do this. And so I think we came up with a good compromise. I think that privacy thing was part of the compromise. Can you comment about that?
Madam Chair, Representative Abler, what we've done so far, we've not put out a bid for vendors yet. We did something called an RFI, though, a request for information, so that we could find out what vendors were available, what vendors were doing this for other states, so we could actually craft an intelligent RFP, or request for proposals. It became clear to me in that process that the vendors that are doing this are vendors that are very much involved right now with handling sensitive protected health information. They are either on behalf of other state agencies around the country, particularly Medicaid agencies, or simply as part of the day-to-day prescription filling process. These vendors currently handle millions of prescriptions a day and keep that data safe. And I have to tell you, I have to believe if they cannot keep that data safe and secure, then our agency with no IT staff would probably have more difficulty than they would keeping it secure and private.
So, Representative Abler, this was sort of a choice the Senate made. The other choice would have been to increase licensing fees so the department could hire their own staff to operate this program, and we chose this option as an alternative.
And Madam Chair, there is a grant available that you're paying the vendor out of something, right?
Yeah, there is a grant available, but as Mr. Weiberg indicated, the federal fiscal year and the state fiscal year do not coincide. So if they can commit these funds before the federal fiscal year is over, the contract with the vendor can run over a longer period of time. And then therefore, they would have the money they need to operate through the rest of the state fiscal year.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, you know that I was a fan of this, and we worked on this together, and came up with a pretty, you're just as informed as I am. I forgot it was even you and me until I just mentioned that. But if you remember some of the parties involved, the part of the reason that the Board of Pharmacy was kind of a comfortable choice was we figured that they were kind of, they're in Minnesota, we kind of know them, and the data would be sort of secure, at least. We just figured they had no interest in, because we trusted them for that already, and then we get another vendor.
It isn't just a matter, Representative Abler, of trusting somebody. It's a matter of technical capacity. And I think what he's telling you is that there are organizations they can contract with that have greater technical capacity than they would, and if they were going to do it, we would have to raise licensing fees to allow them to hire somebody.
And, Madam Chair, just to the licensing fee question, if you're going to take the money and pay the vendor, couldn't we use that money in lieu of an increase in the licensing fee or raise a fee and pay them back, or just to float the money? If the money is equal, do we care about the source of the money?
Well, as I said earlier, federal fiscal year and the state fiscal year do not coincide, and the money would have to be committed before the federal fiscal year is over. so it's pretty hard to commit the money. I mean, either you would go with a vendor or you would hire somebody on contract, which isn't much different than hiring a vendor, I guess.
And that's because this wasn't heard in the House. I'm sorry to be slow to pick up on it, but if we needed to find some money to float a loan to tell the money comes from the federal people, couldn't we just steal more money out of that the revenue fund that we both House and Senate are taking out of from the licensing fees as a loan and then pay them back with the grant if you needed the money?
Representative Abler, it works the other way around. We receive the money from the federal government, but the year doesn't last as long. So I don't think that the federal government really would allow us to put this money in a special revenue account and claim we spent it. So if it was the other way around, then maybe you could do something like what you're describing, but it doesn't work that way. It's the federal government the federal government's money is here, but it doesn't last through our fiscal year.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this issue?
And to another point, if we were through with this topic, I was just talking to Mr. Weiberg about the question about oversight they do on unlicensed pharmacists. And do you have a minute to take a question about that?
No.
Well, we were talking about the work of the Department of Health on unlicensed, uncertified hearing aid dispensers. And we were talking, that's their job anyway, and I'll just relate the story, and you can then query him further if you want.
Well, Representative Abler, what they have to do that would be a similar thing is to monitor internet sales of pharmaceutical products by people who are not licensed as pharmacies in the state of Minnesota. And licensed pharmacists would be paying for that activity.
Well, I asked them about the specific example, and there actually was an unlicensed pharmacist that was reported to them.
Well, there might be one or two once in a while, but I think the other issue is a larger issue that they have to deal with that would be similar to what the Department of Health deals with.
And just the last thought, probably as a percentage of their work, it's less than a tenth of a percent of chasing down unlicensed pharmacists, whereas in the Department of Health, 23%, I believe, of their work is uncertified people. So it's just a different level. That's to the policy.
Mr. Weiberg, how much of your work is involved in trying to track down people selling internet drugs in the state of Minnesota without a license?
Madam Chair, it would be a small, very small percentage that would be spent tracking down unlicensed individuals or businesses.
That do internet sales in the state of Minnesota of prescription drugs?
Pardon me, Madam Chair, I didn't quite understand the question.
It said individuals who do internet sales of prescription drugs who are not licensed in the state of Minnesota.
Our percentage of doing that would be less than 1%, substantially less than 1%.
I'm surprised. I thought it was quite a large problem, actually.
Well, Madam Chair, it is. The problem with internet sales and the reason that the board cannot do much with it is twofold. First of all, we only have authority under our enabling legislation to take action against the people and businesses that we license. So if we have an unlicensed business or an unlicensed individual like a pharmacist, we actually turn that over to law enforcement if we're made aware of it. Specifically addressing internet pharmacy, the problem with that, and I have to tell you, there is an entity out there that is claiming to be licensed by the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy that is causing me no end of aggravation. I get emails from around the world asking why we're licensing this entity. I've talked to federal officials in the FDA. I've talked to the DEA. The FDA believes that this entity is in China, and the DEA believes it is in India. And so the trouble with trying to identify internet pharmacy sites is they're everywhere, and we do not know where they are.
Are there other questions for Mr. Weiberg? No, thank you very much for being here today. We are, as I said, we're going to try and see if we can wrap up the licensing sections of the bill that don't relate to our target. tomorrow. And, you know, I would encourage the Department of Health to have some discussion with the House about how to close the gaps that might exist in your budget if the House proposals are adopted, so that we can move on and not have this hanging over us as we try to work through getting the general fund portions of the budget resolved. And with that, I think we will adjourn for today, and we will, Rep. Seven Huntley will have the gavel tomorrow, and we will meet at 7 p.m. Questions? Rep. Sen. Abler.
Madam Chair, thanks. Just to the hearing aid dispenser thing, and I don't know how I fell into being their guy. I don't even know why. I asked the Department of Health to take some alternate fee money and see if that would be softer for them. And then on the, I think that would complicate the matter
I'd
of
like
adopting.
I'd like you to discuss it with them, and then you can present.
I'm just telling you that I'm working, just so
us.
We can come up. But also on those two fee increases, at least on the licensing part. And I think, I'm not sure if you're going to solve by tomorrow, if you're going to accept which pot of money being taken out of the special revenue fund. So
I'm only going to talk about fees in the bill that don't relate to the general fund or the budget targets.
Right. But just to that point, Madam Chair, it seems unreasonable to me to raise professionals' fees if then I can get the chance to get the money appropriated. If you're willing to accept the appropriation of those monies from the boards, as the House suggests, then it's a moot point. So just something to noodle over the night. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions or information anyone needs today? That then the meeting's adjourned.